Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Hi, friends. Welcome to another one-of-a-kind episode so far of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you today. We are in a special series called Summer Lovin'. It's a That Sounds Fun podcast series in which we really want to restore hope in dating, bridge y'all to these helpful conversations and practical resources and amazing experts so that you can start seeing changes in your dating life, including in you. During Summer Lovin', we are talking through a lot of aspects of dating. Each episode features an expert, someone who's written on the subject or works with a ton of people who are single or dating or is a licensed therapist. And a lot of episodes, as you've heard, will also have some other friends in there with us. Not today. Today's episode is about sex and dating, and it is me and the experts, and that's it. And this is a heads up for those of you who may have any mini BFFs who've been listening along with you today. This conversation is one that you're likely going to want to put your earbuds in or wait until your mini BFFs aren't in the room or in the car. And I want you to be aware that we're having a thoughtful conversation today around sex and dating, navigating sexual desire and healthy boundaries when you are a single person, and particularly if you're a single person of faith. It is a really challenging thing and also a really important part of being a human. I know this is a sensitive and for some a heart-wrenching topic. Just be kind to yourself as you are listening, or pull in a trusted voice in your life if you don't want to listen alone. Here's what we did today. Y'all submitted over 300 questions through my Instagram, Annie F. Downs. I put up a question box. You submitted over 300 questions. So we went through a lot of those. And here's what I hope for today, you guys. I hope that this conversation isn't one that you just receive and don't do anything with. What I really hope happens is this is a launching pad for you and maybe two friends or a small group or a mentor or married friends, that this is one y'all listen to, and then it starts a conversation of like, yeah, where am I on this? And what do I think about what they said? And what has my experience led to here? We are all about bridging you this series. We are not about being the final stop. In this episode particularly, I am so hopeful that you will hear some behind the scenes, y'all, as we're even doing this intro. I feel emotional about this because this matters so much, and so many of us feel pain and shame and worry and frustration and disconnect when it comes to our sexual lives. And really, our deepest hope is that today's episode will bring you hope and will bring you help and will start a conversation for you and your therapist or you and your mentor or you and your friends about how to be your full self. And that includes you being a sexual person. It is all a part of who we are. And so my hope for you right now is you will set aside the whispers of shame or the yelling of shame that is in your head right now. You'll set aside the worries, the judgments that you've put on yourself or other people, and you will just listen with open ears and open heart and let this be the beginning of a conversation, not the end. Okay? So that is our hope for today's episode. Okay. So as you listen, remember, we're going to do a Q&A episode at the end of the series sometime in the early fall. And so if you have questions as you listen, the link is in the show notes. Just start dropping your questions in there and we will do our best to answer as many as we can, just like we did today. But before we dive into today's conversation, I want to tell you about another incredible podcast to get to listen to, and that is our friends, Be the Bridge. Y'all know how much I love Latosha Morrison. She was on the That Sounds Fun podcast on episode 175. We got to introduce her to you then, but also when we got to share that Be the Bridge podcast is a part of the That Sounds Fun network. We love Tasha and are both friends and fans of the work her and her team are doing. The Be the Bridge podcast is a resource from their nonprofit organization, Be the Bridge, which was founded in 2016 by Latosha, who is both a best-selling author and a leader in the fight for racial justice. Be the Bridge responds to racial brokenness and systemic injustice in our world and believes understanding can move us toward racial healing, racial equality, and racial unity. I'm telling you, Tasha and Be the Bridge have been such huge influences in my life as I've worked to better educate myself on racial justice and advocacy. The work they're doing is so incredibly important. In fact, you should go and subscribe to their podcast because I'm about to be on there. I just did an interview with her about my experience and my mom's experience. And I mean, it is like, I just think so highly of Be the Bridge. The Be the Bridge podcast is an extension of their vision to make sure people are no longer conditioned by a racialized society, but grounded in truth. It's a resource to help cultivate courageous conversations and equip all to flourish. I trust their leadership and wisdom so much. New episodes are released every other Tuesday, so subscribe to Be the Bridge wherever you listen to podcasts or go to the link in the show notes below. So today on the show, our summer loving experts are JJ and Kate Tomlin from The Heart of Dating. Kate is a national best-selling author, a speaker, popular relationship coach, and the founder of Heart of Dating. She, along with her husband JJ, helped thousands of men and women on their journeys through the conversations on the Heart of Dating podcast, which launched in 2018. Let me tell you why they are the experts for today's show. Literally, their entire season right now on the Heart of Dating podcast is about sex. So everything we talk about just about on this show, they have an entire episode about. And so I knew they were the right ones for us to bridge toward because they are doing full episodes on what we were only able to do full sentences about today, okay? I wanted to sit down with them and talk to them about sex and dating. They are trusted voices. And when it comes to helping singles navigate the complexity of this, and we tackle some of your most asked questions like, how far is too far? How far is too far? We've been asking that for every year of our life. How far is too far? And is sex still just for marriage in 2023? And how do we handle shame? Shame about the sex that we've had and the shame that a lot of people reached out and said they feel around what they haven't done. We talk about all of it. They are wise and helpful and thoughtful, and I think you're going to learn a ton from what they have to share. So it's a little bit of a longer episode, but I hope you will stick with us to the end. They cover so many beautiful, helpful conversations that are helping me and our friends here and hopefully all of y'all really be the healthiest, fullest version of ourselves. So submitted with humility and thankfulness, here is our summer loving conversation about sex and dating with Kate and JJ Tomlin. Kate and JJ Tomlin, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
We're so excited to be here, Annie. Oh my gosh.
Hey, we love fun in our house.
Yes.
So this is a perfect podcast to join.
Okay, great.
Yes. JJ is literally the definition of fun, actually.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys were meant to be besties. He's an Enneagram 7.
Oh, so you're a 7 as well. How do you identify?
I'm 3.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I know.
A 7 and a 3. That means you have the most fun. Because you're like, you want to have fun? I'll show you how we have more fun than anyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love partnering with 3s. That's really fun. Okay, this is going to be great. This is a That Sounds Fun first, an entire episode about sex.
Let's go.
So I'm stoked. I'm so happy y'all are here. One of our our goals, I'll just remind everybody listening of a couple of things, but one of our goals is we want to bridge people. Mm. That is our mission statement here, is that Annie is a bridge. And so we want to bridge people to experts. Okay. So in our time today, we will not cover everything about sex, but y'all have. I mean, not everything, but on the Heart of Dating podcast.
Yes.
Really? I mean, y'all, is this series that's happening right now? I mean, are you always talking about sex, or are we just in a sex season?
We were in a sex season, okay, for sure. Season okay. 10, season X, season for all the sex.
Yes.
Yeah, so we were talking about sex specifically for singles and how to prepare for sex and marriage, because it's the conversation where you're just shoved out of the room as a single oftentimes. Yeah. So we were like, you know, then you arrive, if you arrive to marriage, and you're like, what in the world? Like, I don't know what's going on here. So, yeah.
We have so many questions. So we asked our friends on Instagram, and they sent in 300 plus questions. So my sweet team went through and categorized it. I was like, bless their hearts. They're just categorizing all these questions. And then our team has questions, and I have questions of things we want to make sure we cover. But I just wanted people to know that if this does not satiate, if our conversation about living with someone or masturbation or sex and dating is not enough, y'all have gone deep diving on all these things.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so here's where I want to start. And I would love to hear from both y'all, because we have men and women that are listening. What do we do? This, I mean, we got over 50 this question. What do we do with our sex drive when we're single?
Oh my gosh, what a good question. Do you want me to start, babe?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the question. I think that, you know, JJ and I have different stories, different backgrounds, and we've had to both come to learn how to do this individually. Yeah. But this is, you know, when we hear this question.
We all tell that at some point today.
Yes.
Will you give
We definitely will. But I think that when you hear this question first, what I love about this question is that we're acknowledging that sex drive exists and that it's a good thing.
Yes.
Like, there is a good, beautiful thing.
In everybody? Does everybody have one?
Ah, that's a good question. I would say some people have suppressed it so much that they would actually venture to say they don't have one. Mm. But I think by God's design, everyone has a sexual nature and by that, a sexual drive.
Yes.
But in each person, it varies based on various factors. But a lot of people find, I don't have a high sex drive. And there could be a lot of reasons for that as a single, such as I've suppressed it a lot or been told this is a really bad thing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're asking the question, what do I do with my sex drive? Hopefully we're all recognizing that this is a beautiful thing created by God.
Yeah.
I think a lot of conversations around sexuality in the church have been to kind of just say, hey, close that off, turn off the sex drive.
Lock that door.
Don't think about it.
Until your husband brings the key. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's 0 to 60. Then you turn it on.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, where is even the keyhole?
Right.
What am I doing here? Like,
that's
seriously.
Exactly right.
And so, you know, sex drive, your sexuality is a beautiful thing created by God, right? We see that in Genesis. Then if we can get to a place by knowing, okay, this thing is amazing. This is a good thing. This is not something to be ashamed of. But then we're asking and thinking, okay, well, if I don't want to like turn it 0 to 60 in my singleness, what do I do with that thing in my singleness?
Right.
And this is where we have to talk about, you know, without a sense of legalism and a sense of rules and like, hey, do this, don't do this. We have to talk about what is behind sex drive. And really what we've talked about is behind your sexual desire is a desire for connection, desire to connect intimately with other people. Yeah. And specifically, obviously, when we talk about dating and love and romance, specifically designed for connecting with somebody in the terms of love and romance.
Yeah.
But we still can connect with other people outside of the love and romance thing as a single. Mm. And so when we think about sex drive, when we talk about it, we often say, you know, the first thing, if you have a high sex drive and you are trying to steward that in a healthy way.
That's such a good language, steward.
Yeah.
Versus shut down.
Right.
Shut down.
Steward it.
Stop
it. That's really
like,
good, Kate.
We don't, because if you keep training your brain, stop. If you do get married, then how are you ever going to turn on?
Yeah, someone asked that. Like, how am I supposed to recover when I've shut this down for so long?
Exactly.
Yeah,
which
really
a lot of people, especially if you're single and 35 listening, single and 40, single and 45, and you have never been married, you're like, I've shut this thing down. How am I supposed to try? Like, what am I supposed to do with this thing that I have?
Right.
Right. And so do you want to say anything else to this, babe?
Well, I just think, you know, you have to recognize culturally where we're at and what we've been fed is it is a physical thing only.
Yeah.
which is incorrect, and it is something that you almost just have to release.
I mean, Jersey Shore told me it was a physical thing.
Right.
Right? That you just try to get your number up. Just get your count
up. You gotta get your number up.
Body count.
You gotta clear your mind. Hey, here's the physical reasons why a sexual release is good for you.
Yeah.
Here are the really practical good things about it. And so the whole foundation of, you know, what we do and what I would ask a listener, say, let me take every assumption I have about sex and completely wipe the board. And let's start at God's word and the theology of sex, the foundation, the ultimate designer and who created that sexual drive within you. And let's see what he has to say about it first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let me build my sexual ethic and my foundation and my belief system around that versus trying to piece it together from a hodgepodge of Disney, Jersey Shore, a great sermon I heard last week.
And then when they told me in middle school at church.
Yeah, and then when I, you know, my youth pastor, you know, in seventh grade. So I think that's where as adults, if you have never done that, this is a perfect opportunity to just, hey, let's start with a whiteboard, completely blank, and go to God's word first.
So what, I mean, can you talk about that? What is the sexual ethic according to scripture? I mean, a lot of people said, like, what does the Bible say about sex before marriage? And I've been told my sexual desire as a single woman stems from a spiritual lack.
Mm,
you know, like, so you're, if you're not spiritual enough, your sexual desires because you're not spiritual enough. Like, how do we, how do we find what the Bible says? Because David had a lot of wives and, you know, so it doesn't,
Solomon,
it's not like you can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I think what is first and foremost is you have to understand very quickly, the Bible is very quick in Genesis 2. It talks about Adam being around when God formed Eve from the dust. And in Genesis 2, it gives us this excerpt where Adam is singing song and dancing before the Lord with a naked female in front of him. And if you start to piece together what this kind of poem is eliciting is he is literally doing a dance for joy and singing song for what is before him.
Yeah.
So when it comes to sex, God is not bashful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you move to the Psalms and the Proverbs where he is talking about the delight of the breasts of the woman before him.
Yeah.
And in Song of Songs.
And
especially.
In Song of Songs.
Yeah, he that whole thing.
Dedicated a whole entire book of God's word to the practice and the delight and the pleasure. And it even talks about the alliteration of sexual union and the taste of pleasure is just a foreshadow of the union to come.
Yeah.
So the delight that we experience of it is a taste and sample of what we are to experience in heaven.
Yeah.
It's one of the closest ways we can experience it. So, and then you get to Matthew 5, where Jesus talks about committing adultery, and he doesn't use a word about, you know, he says, do not commit adultery in the sense of your sexual desire, don't, you know, use it poorly. He uses a word called porneia, which has a completely different annotation from any other sexual desire used beforehand.
Yeah.
And the connotation there is it's a greedy desire.
Mm. And I mean, when you hear it, porn.
Yes.
You hear it.
Yeah.
And the whole foundation of porn and greed is that it is a highly addictive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get enough of it. Mm. It's insatiable. It never satisfies, and you fantasize about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where your sexual desire, whenever it turns from the original design, which is within covenant of giving, which we'll get all about into today, is the immediate difference between your sexual desire working against you towards lust and not advancing you closer to God is when it's for you.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
When it's taking, not giving. It goes directly against the original design, which I'm sure we'll get all into.
Man, what an interesting moment we could all have in our singleness of going like, this thing I'm about to do, am I taking or giving?
Yes.
And whether that is pornography or masturbation or making out or sleeping with someone, that is such a first gate that we could just go, am I taking or am I giving? Well, if it's just me, I'm not giving anything.
Right, exactly.
So that's a really interesting first gate to have that conversation.
It's a great litmus test.
Wow, JJ, that is really good. Okay, tell me a little bit about y'all's sexual story that got you here.
Yeah.
And y'all been married 9 months?
Yeah, 9 months.
So we have all the marriage advice you can ask for.
We can tell you all the great sex things in 9 months of marriage.
We have tons of experience.
We're experts, you know?
Yeah.
So before we got married, we have very different sexual pasts. And so my past and my story is I dated for 10 years back to back nonstop from like 14 to 24. I used dating as a means of finding my identity and finding that I trying to find that I was worthy and lovable. And within that story, I dated a lot of guys and I hooked up with a lot of guys. And at 16, I had sex for the first time. And that just snowballed into a pattern of sexual relations with tons of men. And, you know, my story also includes sexual abuse as well. And so just some really, really hard stuff in my past. And then in my mid-20s, I had been in an abusive relationship that was kind of abusive in every way. Wow. Once I got out of that relationship, I went through a major season of healing and kind of removing myself from men entirely and asking myself, who is Kate outside of men? Like, who is Kate outside of dating, outside of sexual relations, outside of performing for men? Like, who am I? And do I even like who I am? And so I went on that journey. And only years later, then I said, okay, let's try to reenter into dating, but this time with a different sexual ethic, this time with a new way of doing it. And I did not do it perfectly, but I actually tried to work on having a more deeply rooted sexual ethic in that story as well. I dated guys that were some phenomenal Christian men. And once they found out about my past, they were not okay with it.
Wow.
So one guy in particular, he was wonderful. And this is not to dog him, but he found out about my past. And there were all these other wonderful things about me. I kind of picture it like he thought I was like almost this amazing present on the outside. And when he opened it up, it was not exactly what he thought.
Wow.
And when he found out about my sexual past, he just could not get over it. Like,
so many women wrote in that that's a fear.
Yes.
That men are going to walk away when they hear
when
about
they
their
hear.
Past.
Exactly. And that's, and it eventually did, for many reasons, not just that, made him walk away, which was the best thing at the end of the day. But what had happened at that point is I had healed from so much of my sexual past and worked through that. And I wasn't ashamed to share about it anymore because I had worked through, hey, I have a new conviction now. I know the grace that I have from God. I know the mercy that God gives me. And I am not defined by that past. Yeah. Some of that makes me who I am today, but it doesn't define me. And it's also not the most important thing about me.
Yeah.
And so when he had such a hard time dealing with it, it actually kind of like was a struggle for me because I started dipping my toes back in this water of doubt. Like, should I be ashamed about this?
Yeah.
Like, should I? Because he just could not, like, it kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually had to say, hey, I actually think you need to process this outside of me. Like, you continuing to process how this is affecting you with me is leading me into a place that I've already received freedom from.
Yeah.
And so I just need you to stop talking to me about it because it's fine if you have your journey, but you can't have that with me.
I'm not your counselor.
I can't.
Get me out.
And so, you know, in our story, you can share your past, and then our story was so redeeming in this way too. But do you want to tell her about your past?
Well, I mean, it's so funny because I could say, you know, when I married Kate, I was, and we're going there today, right?
Yeah,
this is about sex. I was a virgin by the standard of penetrative sex.
Yeah.
But how I define sex now is so different. And I can't say, you know, I had no sexual experiences with women or digital objects and pornography. If you look at it from that lens, you know, and what we say is this is Kate has a very vivid external with in-person interaction and sexual relations. I could absolutely say maybe I didn't have that, but my story was riddled with pornography use for 10 years and sexual experiences with women that were not, quote, you know, penetrative sex, but were everything close.
Right.
And in the same light, you know, I think whenever you get into the territory of sharing an orgasm with another person or object, for me, that qualifies as a deeply spiritual, emotional tying experience of sex. You know, because it's
another great definition.
Yes.
That is, you're giving us so many good gates of going like,
absolutely.
If you're experiencing an orgasm with another person or an object.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, who cares? I'm so sorry, but who cares what it's in or what it's, you know, what it's doing?
Yes.
If you're sharing an orgasm, you're absolutely bonding on a spiritual soul level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just with humans. You know, at what point now in the digital age is it an object or a creation of artificial intelligence? You know, pornography now is not even with human beings. It's just being created by digital pixels.
Right.
So you can't define sex as just a, you know, person-to-person experience, yeah. it's absolutely a objectual experience now.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. It's so funny. Nothing separates us from 2,000 years ago and the yeah. ties to objects,
yeah,
you know,
right.
and idols. And we look, right. you know, we read the Old Testament, New Testament. How did you guys worship yeah. sticks and stones? And, you know, we're doing the same thing just with digital pixels now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. That's yeah. really good. So, another overarching question.
Yes.
Why is sex so powerful? It brings down families, it brings down, it's,
yeah.
I mean, we got so many shame questions.
Yeah.
It is what moves things forward. I mean, it is one of the most powerful forces.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, when we see in Genesis, we actually see in Genesis that the enemy uses shame, especially when it comes to our bodies, at yeah. first and foremost. We see them, they were in the garden, they were naked, and they felt ashamed,
yeah.
so they had to cover up, right? But that's not what they were originally, and
right.
that's not how God originally designed it.
Right.
And so I think the enemy uses sexual shame specifically in this entity of sex. One of the most vulnerable things that we can do with another person is a sexual experience,
mm-hmm.
truly. Getting naked, being fully exposed in front of another person is so vulnerable and very exposing. And so I believe truly that the enemy uses that as a huge means to, like, if he could just get a little foothold in
yeah.
that area of sexuality,
yeah.
he can start separating us from our relationship with God.
Yep.
And that's why you see, Annie, too, where I think, you know, we talk about, like, sin in the church, we talk about different sins, we often, like, almost put sex or anything related to sex on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that one is higher than gossip,
yeah.
or that one is higher than profanity,
right.
and
for
that
sure
one's
higher than gossip.
Right?
Yes.
For sure. And, like, you know, you find out someone on staff is having sex with their boyfriend, girlfriend. And I'm not saying this is acceptable, but if that's happening, you definitely are like, whoa, I can't believe that's happening. They need to be removed, like, all this stuff. But if you find out they're gossiping, oh, well, everybody kind of does that, right?
Right, right, right.
So, and I'm saying that in a general sense, but
yes,
I do
yes. That's
often,
not in your church or my church. That's
right,
not
exactly.
A church we are talking about.
Right.
That's just,
right.
There are
generally,
companies where that happens, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why this is such a hot button topic and episode, because people are going to be like, oh, yeah, like, it's such a charged conversation,
yeah.
because I believe, like, it can bring you so deeply close to God in the right context of marriage,
yeah.
or it has the ability to cause so much destruction, so much shame.
Yeah.
And then as a consequence, I think just even as believers, we've become so shame-filled on this topic that then we throw buckets of shame at other
yeah.
people.
Yeah, that's right.
When we find out what they may be doing, whether pornography, masturbation, sex with their boyfriend, girlfriend, like, whatever it is,
yeah.
a sexual identity struggle, whatever it is, we're like, shame bucket on you,
yeah.
you know? So then
yeah.
it's just more and more isolated, 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 isolated. And that's where what hides in the dark, it stays in the dark,
that's
grows
right.
in the dark,
yeah,
you know? And
right.
so, yeah, I think you probably have some to add to that, though, babe, but...
I mean, that was really great. I think, you know, again, culturally, we're taught, you know, from everything that's not in Sunday school
yeah.
and theology, is that sex is just physical.
Yeah.
And we are very, very clear that if it's just physical, then why are the ramifications of it
right.
so massive?
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, you that's look right. at cohabitation, you look at all these things, everything points to it that it should just be physical, is not. And, you know, a big thing is the emotional and spiritual ramifications are massive, because it is an expression of emotion and spiritual need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a satisfier of emotional and spiritual wants.
Yeah.
And in totality, sex
wow.
in itself is a sacrament. And a sacrament is a physical act that represents an invisible reality.
Mm.
So the physical act of sex is just the beginning, and it's just a small sample of the magnitude of a spiritual and emotional reality that's taking place. A great example is communion in church.
Yeah.
Communion is a sacrament that we practice. If you think about it, the physical act of taking that wine and that bread is not
casual.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
very.
And we're very casual about it.
Yeah.
But the second you start to think about the invisible reality of what it represents,
yeah, yeah.
the magnitude and the weight
yeah.
of what that blood stands for, the price that was paid,
mm.
the bread and the community
yeah.
and the body
yeah.
that he suffered for, it holds a massive weight.
Yeah.
So sex in that same lens, once we start to see that the physical act of it is small, but the emotional and the spiritual magnitude is massive.
Yeah.
And it's a huge power source. You know, within covenant, it is that power source that unites. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a bunch of different purposes of sex. It's to, you know, you can literally create life.
Right. Yeah. Literally the only way that two humans can create life.
Like that alone, I get goosebumps, you know. Yeah. But second to that, it's where you unite and become one before God.
Yes.
You know, so the spiritual reality and what it means. And so that without, you know, outside of covenant is, of course, it's going to devastate.
Yeah.
Of course. And I love Kate's story, though, because it's such a great snapshot of, okay, what is this idea of worldly shame, enemy shame?
Yeah,
and what's the
it.
Difference that I think we've lost in the past 20 years of godly sorrow in 2 Corinthians? So what's godly sorrow? What is godly grace? What does it mean to actually mourn and change and transform here after I fail? Because what we talked about, even on the pre-call, is the church has done one thing really well.
Yeah.
They've made one thing really clear, what the standard is.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know what, even non-Christians know what the Christian standard is for sex, right?
Yeah.
They're but, like, oh yeah, you don't have sex.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have sex for right.
We're known for it. But we're so ill-equipped to deal with the failure of it.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation. Everybody all right? We're going to share about one of our amazing partners, HelloFresh. I don't eat dinner at home very often. You know this about me. But when I do, I want the easiest options possible. And this summer, HelloFresh is here to take the hard work out of eating well. And I am here for it. Figuring out what's for dinner is not at the top of anyone's summer activity wish list. But HelloFresh delivers mouthwatering, chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients to your door so you can spend your summer doing, well, whatever you want to do. If it's me, I'd rather be outside than stressing over what to make. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Get farm-to-table quality with every HelloFresh box. HelloFresh's seasonal ingredients are picked at peak ripeness and travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days for fresh flavor in every bite. They even have new snacks, meals, and more to add on to your weekly order, like their fun s'mores bundle for the kids. It's adorable, and it's not just for the kids, okay? Or some of these crowd pleasers, like their bratwurst bar with caramelized onions and Dijonnaise slaw and pineapple relish, or a snack board with pretzel bites, spiced bar nuts, and hot honey peach jam. Yum. Sounds like it's time to order some HelloFresh and have us a party. Okay. Listen, if you're stuck in a recipe rut or you want to try something new, there are 40 recipes to choose from every week. Even the pickiest eaters, you're going to find meals everyone at the table will enjoy. This summer, spend less time meal planning and prepping with HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients that make it easy to get cooking quick. From easy instructions to high-quality proteins and veggies, HelloFresh brings out your inner chef with every tasty, easy to prepare meal. Plus, it's 25% less expensive than takeout. So go to HelloFresh.com/TSF16 and use the code TSF16 to get ready, 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/TSF. Like that sounds fun. TSF16. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit, and you're about to get 16 free meals. HelloFresh.com/TSF16. And I have one more amazing partner to tell you about, ZocDoc. Have you ever been stumped about a health problem you have, so you resort to Googling it? Don't do that. Don't do it. You know that's a rabbit hole you do not need to go down. While you're extremely unlikely to find the right medical advice through an internet search, you can find it from a doctor on ZocDoc. Thousands of medical professionals on ZocDoc are there to help you. They listen like a friend and give you the expert care you need. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them and treat almost every condition under the sun. When you're not feeling well and already low on energy, finding great care shouldn't take up any additional brain space or effort. That's where ZocDoc comes in. Using their free app that millions of users rely on, including your girl AFD, you can find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule. You can book an appointment with just a few taps in their app and start feeling better faster with ZocDoc. Surprises might work for the podcast world, but they do not work for medical care. With ZocDoc, there are no alarms and no surprises. Choose from thousands of patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. Browse doctor profiles, upload and verify your insurance information, and get the care that you need. Go to ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun to download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun. ZocDoc.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right. Getting a custom piece of art for your house. Listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skin care, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation, and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. Okay, now back to our summer love and conversation with Kate and JJ. That sounds fun. Talk about the people that are listening that feel so much shame because of having sex. And whether, I mean, there are people who wrote in that were like, I've been abused and I feel shame.
Yes.
I've chosen it and I feel shame.
Yes.
I have watched things, read things, and I feel shame. Mm. So there's so many people who, because we're going to talk about two different sides of shame. So let's start with, let's talk about the people who feel shame for what has happened or what they have done.
Yeah, this is so powerful because, again, I believe, especially, I really, really believe that the enemy loves to use this, especially outside of any way he can shame us. I think he uses this the most to separate us from God.
Wow.
Like, if we can feel ashamed of our bodies, ashamed of our sexual desire, ashamed of sexual acts we have done or have not done, which I'm sure we'll talk about, like, it can deeply create a barrier between ourselves and God. And so I think this was a big, big part of my journey, is really trying to heal through, like, okay, how do I remove this shame and create a healthy conviction that is free of shame?
Yes.
Which is like, how do we do that? Because if you take away, if you just take away shame, what you see right now is this move to the other end of the spectrum, which is just grace, 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 and almost like a cycle of abusing grace. Like, well, God forgives me and God gives me this grace.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine. Like, everything's good. I'm good.
But I think there's also people who are like, we're both Christians and we're in a committed relationship. We're not married, but we want to have sex.
Right. Yeah, totally. And so there's, I think within that, you have to figure out, well, what is my why and why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And like, does it matter? And that back to what JJ was saying and why this is such an important sacrament that if you understand. So here's the thing with shame, like if you understand like the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, that he died for your sins, when you are in a cycle of shame, you're kind of looking at the cross and saying, like, what you've done for me is not enough. And so I need to keep punishing myself.
Wow.
Because what you've done for me is not satisfactory enough. I have to keep punishing myself. That's what shame does.
Yeah.
It says, I'm just so bad. That's great. Thank you. But I have to keep punishing myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you really can meditate on what Jesus did for you on the cross, like that he died for your sins, that kind of sacrifice and the kind of grace that he gives us that we don't deserve, like there is something so deeply, profoundly transformative in removing shame. When we can truly understand we don't deserve this, but Christ sent his son, or God sent his son in the form of a man to die for all of our sins.
Yeah.
And that can profoundly change your heart. And I know we all know that as Christians, but I think when you truly can meditate on that, when you truly like take that from head knowledge into heart knowledge, and you see like this picture of sacrifice is so profound. Like God loves me that much that he like, he sees me, he sees all my sin, he sees all my sexual brokenness, and he's like, I love you just as much. Yes. And I love you this much that I sent my son to die so that you would know that.
Yes.
And so that you'd be free from any ounce of shame. Yeah. And so when we know that, it also changes us from wanting, from living in that almost cycle of grace abuse like I was talking about, because I think that I see a lot of that in the Christian world where it's like, I messed up, quote unquote, but it's okay. God forgives me, you know? Yeah. And then we just keep on in that same cycle. If you truly want to transform out of shame and into deeper transformation, it requires a level of deep heart understanding what Christ has done for you and deep acceptance of the grace that God gives to you and deep acceptance of the love God has for you, because shame also completely separates you from the love of God.
Yeah. So how do you deal with the shame, or how would someone deal with the shame if they feel it from being sexually abused?
Yes. So that, I mean, and I have definitely dealt with that. And that was something for me that actually, in my story, I compartmentalized for so many years because I don't know if we'll have time to go there today, but I think
we can go hear it on your show.
Yeah, definitely. But there's a narrative out there that, like, especially for women, that women are the gatekeeper for men's sexual desire, sexual drive. Yes. And so I was taught that for so long. Eventually, you know, actually, Annie, the majority of women who are sexually abused or sexually or raped, actually, it happens from somebody they know.
Yeah.
It actually rarely happens from somebody they don't know, which is, I think, what we often think. It's like somebody you don't know, just like somebody random.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it actually often happens from somebody you know, which is why it's even that much more confusing. And if you've grown in this narrative of, hey, women, it's kind of up to you to help your brother not stumble, then you're in the back of your mind, if a man does, quote unquote, stumble, you blame yourself. You're like, oh, this happened because of me. And so that is exactly what happened to me. I was sexually assaulted by a man that I knew. And I was so, like, caught off guard that I just was like, oh, he must have done this because of something I did or something I was wearing or whatever. And so I don't know if this relates to anyone, but for me, I was so unable to deal with that shame that I put it in this bucket. Yeah. Like, I put it deep down in this closet to never look at.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't even face the amount of shame that I feel from that. So I'm just going to put it down here. So much so that I forgot it happened until years and years and years later.
Right.
Somebody asked me, have you ever been raped? And that was the moment where I was like, and all these like emotions started flooding up. And I was like, yeah, I have. So I say that to say, you know, there is no blame for you in that situation. Like, I think something I had to deeply learn was it was not my fault.
Yes.
It is not your fault. No matter what you're wearing, it was not your fault. No matter how, even if you were flirting, it's not your fault. Like, nobody has the right to do anything to you against your will. If you say no, it means that.
Yeah.
But I think we're so often programmed that, like, no, but I made these mistakes and I led him on. Like that, especially as women, that's what we tell ourselves.
Yep.
And it's just not true. And I had to come to really accepting, like, that is not true.
Yeah.
It was not my fault. I did not deserve that. And that man is wrong. Like he was in the wrong. And God covers all of that. But I had to really understand and rewire, like, this is not my fault.
Yeah.
This is not my fault, which took a long time to reprogram.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
JJ, I was shocked how many of this question came in. And so I'd love for, I mean, either of you, but people saying, I feel so much shame because I haven't done fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so much shame because I'm 40 and I haven't had sex. I feel so much shame. Is someone going to want to date me because I'm in my 30s and I've never slept with anyone? I mean, piles of men and women saying to us, I'm embarrassed at what I haven't done.
Yeah. You know, it's such a good question. And it's so funny. It's not what you would think.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
That tells me one thing. For the enemy, nothing is off limits.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nothing's off limits.
Good. Y'all are very good at this.
But, you know, and what's funny about that, it means that everything about us has to be defined and placed underneath our identity in God, including our virginity.
Yeah.
And whether or not we have it. Because the second we take anything out from that covering, it's fair game for the enemy.
Yeah.
And he will use anything against us to insert shame. as a stronghold, including your virginity.
Right.
And to them, I would just say, you know, you're so much more than your virginity.
Right.
And for the one who's lost it, you are so much more than your virginity.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same message for both.
Yep.
You know, your identity, your self-worth, your value is there is so much more. And for as far as hope, the right man and the right woman, they won't see you for your virginity or lack of.
Right.
When Kate comes to me and she vulnerably shares that story and her past, if I'm truly a Christ follower, first of all, two things. One, I have no choice but to extend the same grace and forgiveness that I've been extended. Because if I had to be really honest and transparent with everyone about my past and the dark thoughts and the hidden thoughts that nobody sees,
right,
you wouldn't look at me the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And second to that, you know, for her, I'm like, you know, that conversation with that guy that you had is so sad to me because, like, you are so much more than your sexual past. And more importantly, when I saw Kate, we met on a Zoom call in the middle of COVID. And I saw her and on a pre-call.
Yeah.
And she was speaking at this Galentine's event, you know, for like 400 single girls.
Yeah.
And
I remember.
She was the most beautiful 4x6 pixels I've ever seen. Just, I was, you know, enamored.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have asked her out because I didn't know her story.
Yeah.
I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
And so after 40 minutes of hearing her talk about who she was in Christ and the healing.
You don't mean her sexual story. You just mean her as a person.
Yeah, yeah. Both, you know.
Okay. And I did share some of it in that.
Yeah. Yes,
ironically.
Absolutely.
So his first introduction to me is like, I'm
I
like,
saw
hey,
all
you.
Of it.
Yeah.
I saw the, and you know, and you can fill in the blank very quickly. And for me, that was so attractive. Because of who she was in Christ today and the healing that she had experienced today.
Mm.
And that's how she was defined. And for me, people who are completely transparent about their past, the degree to which you're transparent about your past and your sexual past is the degree to which God can heal and establish you and who he is.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, Kate, it wasn't a ding against her. It was a total bonus in the sense of she knew God's mercy.
Yeah.
She knew God's grace.
Yeah.
And she knew God's redemption on earth.
Yeah.
And
that
for me was so attractive.
Yeah.
I loved
it. Did you have worries that he didn't know what to do? Did you have worries that he hadn't had sex?
Oh, before marriage?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a really good question. I actually didn't have worries about that, but what I worried about was the opposite. And I actually got some counsel from girlfriends who had similar situations to mine where they had experience, but their husband had none. Because you have to understand, you may have experience, but you've never experienced covenantal sex.
Right.
So you may have had sex outside of marriage, but sex within marriage is a different thing.
Oh.
And so
I do not know that.
Yes, it's a different thing. And that's where there is so much hope for the person who has a sexual past. Like what I would say to that person, which I had to say to myself, is like, you've actually never experienced true sex.
Wow.
Because sex was designed for marriage in a covenant. And so you've never experienced sex. Huh. And I said that, like we said this on a podcast a year ago before we got married. And now I can say confidently, like after getting married, like truly, There is nothing like the safety and the freedom and the vulnerability of truly knowing this person isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I can be fully myself with them.
Yeah.
God blesses this. God celebrates when we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like there's something just like if you read Song of Songs, like it is that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that outside of the marriage bed.
Yeah.
It is that. So you've never experienced true sex. So that for me was like, oh, well, I have to go into it saying, I also don't really know sex either.
Man, that's great for anybody who's watched pornography, who's read pornography, who has had any kind of physical relationship with anybody to go, this thing you're going to do after you get married is actually so different.
Yes.
Even if the parts are the same. It is so different.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
so
like a journey because no matter, like I was more nervous on our wedding night than he was.
Yeah.
Like, which is funny in a sense if you think about it, like logistically, like I have a past experience with multiple different things and yet I was more nervous because I was like, I don't know, like what am I even doing anymore? Like I'm not sure because it was all felt so new to me, which is because I prayed for that because I had healed so much that I was like, I pray God that this night of our wedding night is like the first time.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm having a, like, I know everything and I'm just thinking about past stuff. Like, it really was like the first time. I was more nervous than he was. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
So I would say there's that hope. And also, this is just another tip for people engaged or getting married and you have a sexual past. It also is very important, though, that if things come up in while you're having sex, newlywed sex or whatever, that if you have a past and your husband or your spouse doesn't, you're not like, oh, we should do it like this. Or,
oh, wow.
Hey, actually, I don't like that. Like, it's really important to create that experience together and have it be a journey of exploration together versus like, oh, my favorite thing is doing this. Or,
so
I've tried that and don't like that.
So you can't communicate what your favorite things are, or you just have to do it in a explain?
The way you should do it is the way that
we attempt
to do it was – you know, I would like gently say, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I really want to do that.
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure I would really
versus
like that.
Versus the stance of, hey, because I've done this, I know exactly what this
exactly.
should be.
Yeah.
Okay, now I understand.
Exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And like giving him the freedom and me being like, you know what, I may not have liked that before, but this is a new thing.
Yeah,
let me see. Yeah. This is my husband. We're exploring together in a very new way.
And 50 to 100 more years of having sex.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
You're both starting from the starting line.
Yeah, that's
right.
Really
like
good.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're both starting from the starting
line. And I wanted to
say
something again to the person who feels shame about no sexual history. Can I speak to that again?
Please.
I don't want to like go back.
No,
I just had
please.
Something. And I think for that person, because we've had a lot of people who have written into the podcast, they've never been kissed, for example.
Yeah.
They're 40 and never been kissed, or they've never been in a relationship, let alone never had a sexual history. And they're like, I feel so behind. That's the comment. I feel so behind, not only because I'm not married, but because I've never even experienced these other things that are very, like, things like kissing or even holding hands with someone. And to that, to those individuals, I would say, first of all, if this is a value of your, I think the reason why we do something like and hold strong to it, it has to be because it's a value of ours. And so if this is a value of yours, it's something that you can feel confident in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of times people are like, I feel behind. Within that, I feel like there's a sense of I'm unconfident because this is an embarrassing thing or it's unnatural in current society. So if you can flip this script to be like, actually, this is a value that
I chose
hold.
This.
Mm-hmm.
I chose this, and this is a good thing about me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I'm behind. It doesn't mean – guess what? Like, you could never have kissed someone in your entire life and – you could kiss someone and it'd be the best kiss of your life. You could have kissed 100 people in your life and kiss someone new and it'd be the worst kiss of your life.
Right.
It doesn't really
right.
matter. That
right.
experience doesn't actually matter at the end of the day because all of it is such a journey with that person that you're with. And so I think when you reframe it as like, this is a value that I have, I've chosen this and I feel confident about that. Like for those that are questioning it, like I would encourage you to go back to why did you choose that value in the first place? And if it was because someone told you to, then let's like rework that to say, why am I choosing this now?
Yes.
Versus my pastor told me or my youth pastor or my mom or my dad, like why am I choosing this now?
Yeah.
Someone else may have told you, but why are you choosing it? Because then you can, it can be rooted in confidence.
Yes.
And then it could be something that you're not ashamed of.
Yep.
And the last thing I'll say to that person also is, you know, you're not behind in relationships.
Nope.
You're
That's
not
right.
behind because there are so many things that dating distracts you from. Okay. And the chances are that you've actually probably done a lot in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably maybe made a great career. You probably have stellar friendships. You have learned great relationship skills.
Mm-hmm.
You just maybe have not used them in a context of romantic relationship.
Yeah.
But there are, trust me, there are people who have dated, and they're still some of the worst daters out there.
right.
I've seen them. I've dated some of them. I've been that in the
past.
And you may come in with the best character, great life experiences, amazing deep friendships. You've had to have hard conversations with friends. You've had to like have the courage and boldness to do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And that qualifies you way more for relationships than somebody with a ton of relational history or romantic relationship history. So
we have a couple people who ask things, and I think this is really interesting. What if you never get married? Or what if you're 20 now and you get into your 30s, or you're 30 and you get into your 40s, or up to 60s, 70s, and you haven't gotten married.
Yeah.
Can our sex drive bring us closer to God in unmarried life?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not promised to any of
me.
It's promised to y'all. It's not promised to me.
Absolutely. don't you think that when, what is it? Is it Romans 12? Offering up your bodies as sacrifices to God and God seeing something that's so valuable, so meaningful, so deep and innate in you and powerful, and seeing you laying it before Him and His throne.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about, you know, I heard John Piper talking about this the other day. These women who have such a passion and desire to mother.
Yeah.
And they said, God, you know, where are you? Mm-hmm. What about this desire that you created within me? Mm-hmm. And to see them find a way to still channel it and sacrifice and saying, I might not have children of my own, mm-hmm. but that's not going to stop me from mm-hmm. serving mm-hmm. alongside a family and a single mother who needs an additional yeah. help and motherly care and compassion.
We have
women 45 who foster
yeah.
at this point by themselves,
yeah.
working mm-hmm. full-time jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, I am so proud. And that's just from a human perspective. So that is the sacrifices that are pleasing to God, the ones that hurt and sting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you think about generosity and giving.
Right.
Giving, you know, if 10% is easy for you, then that's not yeah. really, it's not really giving. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. When you give something to the point that it hurts, mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. costs.
Yes.
Abraham with Isaac, one of the forefathers.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, fully ready and prepared
yeah.
to give something that was the most meaningful promise to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is that's the good. Sacrifice that pleases God.
Yeah.
And so for the sexual nature aspect of it, to just give it and surrender it, I just can't think of any sacrifice that's more pleasing in that sense. And I can't sit here and say I know exactly why.
Yeah.
But I do know that once we view things on an eternal perspective, I mean, mm-hmm. Francis Chan does this better than any teacher.
Yeah.
The second we stop and pause and zoom out on an eternal perspective,
yeah.
not to minimize it, but say this is a short-term pain
yes.
and struggle yes. on an eternal perspective that,
yeah.
hey, I look forward to when I'm in an eternity, this is going to be the least of my desires and the yeah. greatest pleasure and greatest desire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
rocked Kate's world when I was like, hey, you know, we're reading You, Me Together by Francis Chan. You know we're not soulmates, forever, yeah. right?
I was like, oh, no, like, I know that, but yeah. it's the weirdest concept to think in heaven, like, yeah. we're not married.
Yeah,
like,
we're earthmates.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be best friends in heaven, and I can't wait to see you. I don't even know if we'll kiss. We'll high five and say good to see you.
So bizarre.
But,
like,
you know,
up,
and that changes the whole meaning of marriage. You know, the whole meaning of marriage is how do I set this person up on an eternal
yeah.
timeline to grow closer to God
yeah.
and be with him in eternity.
Yeah. Mm.
And that changes my perspective of sex, my perspective of relating to her, my mm-hmm. perspective of serving her. It changes everything about yeah. the meaning of my marriage.
Yeah. Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to share about another amazing partner, Sundays for Dogs. Yep, this is the one for the dogs in your life. And listen, if you want to meet somebody, dog parks, people, dog parks. I know you put time and energy into thinking about what to feed yourself and your family and your friends. And don't forget your dogs. Sundays for Dogs is healthy dog food that is easy to store and serve for your little guy or gal. So they get a meal that both tastes great to them and is healthy. Sundays is air-dried dog food containing 90% meat, 10% vegetables, and zero synthetic nutrients. Besides USDA beef and all-natural chicken, it has digestive aids like pumpkin and ginger, plus disease-fighting antioxidants. That sounds good, right? Fallon's dog, Teddy, is a big fan of Sundays for Dogs. You know Fallon. She runs the That Sounds Fun Network and is the co-host of our favorite snack podcast, The Snack Show. So she's an expert on dogs and food. And you can't blame Teddy for loving it. With all those ingredients, who wouldn't be a fan? All the dog moms and dads out there report noticeable health improvements in their pups. Plus, every order ships right to your door, so you'll never worry about running out of dog food again. Unlike other fresh dog foods, Sundays is zero prep work, zero mess, and zero stress. Sundays is shelf-stable, which makes it easy to feed your pup top-quality food. Done and done. We've worked out a special deal for our dog-loving friends. Get 35% off your first order of Sundays. So go to sundaysfordogs.com/thatsoundsfun or use the code that sounds fun at checkout. That's sundaysfordogs.com/thatsoundsfun. Upgrade your pup to Sundays and feel good about the food you feed your dog. And one last amazing partner to share with you, Indeed. Listen, are you trying to hire somebody and is it challenging? Yes. Do we love a good challenge? Clearly. We need a hiring partner that can help you rise to that challenge. You need Indeed. Whenever we're hiring here at Downs Books, Inc. or at the That Sounds Fun Network, we hire using Indeed. And it has never steered us wrong, you guys. They are the experts at helping us find the best fit for the roles we want to build our teams with. When you're ready to hire, you're probably already out of bandwidth and don't need another additional thing to your list, which is why you need to hire, right? Indeed helps make sure the hiring process doesn't become a second full-time job. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job, you guys. That's according to Indeed data in the U.S. They can help you attract, interview, and hire all in one place so you don't have to spend your valuable hours digging through multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills. Instead, you can do it all and fast with Indeed. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide, and that's two of them represented right here, that use Indeed to quickly hire great talent. So start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/soundsfun. The offer is good for a limited time, so claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/soundsfun. Indeed.com/soundsfun. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived, and I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. And now let's go back and finish up this great conversation with our summer loving experts, Kate and JJ. That sounds fun. Okay, so that is so good, JJ, because both of those thoughts just lead me to let's talk about sex in dating and let's talk about sex when you're not dating someone. Because in dating, a lot of people want to know how far is too far.
Mm-hmm.
How far is too far? And that's what we asked in middle school, and we're still asking it at 42. How far is too far? And what is the line? When y'all are teaching about this, I think it's beautiful because people want to know. People want to honor God, but they also want to be humans and have bodies.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that?
Yeah, I think what I would say to this, that it's the
we love this question.
Okay, great.
Of all the questions about sex, it's
sure.
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because it's such a good moment. If you are listening, like, be honest with yourself. Maybe you've covered up that question.
Yeah.
And you've hoped somebody else asks it.
Yeah.
But you're definitely listening with a little bit of intrigue, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would say first, and we say this, like, it is the wrong question to ask because it's like, hey, the right question to ask is what I'm doing honoring God, truly. Is what I'm doing bringing me closer to God? One of my favorite quotes, like one of my life like quotes, I would say, from John Mark Comer is, who are you becoming by the things you're doing?
Yeah.
And really
challenge. But that doesn't mean you have to keep your hands to yourself for until your marriage night, right?
No.
Oh, JJ
JJ.
He clicked at me.
Well, so here's the thing about that is I think that depends on the person. And it has to be a deeply rooted conviction because here we're not about to sit here and say, hey, you can do this and you can't do this because nobody needs another set of rules right now. Nobody needs that. That's why we started earlier saying like this has to be a deeply personal conviction, a deeply personal
why. That your community may know your conviction so someone holds you to it.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And it has to be built around yourself and your past. So my boundaries, knowing my past.
Yep.
Are going to be way more strict knowing my tendency and just being honest with myself of like, hey, this is like if I was an addict addicted to alcohol my whole life and I'm recovering from that, like, yeah, maybe I can't be like at a bar every Friday night around people heavily drinking, you know, like it's probably not good for me in this process of trying to move away from that. And so for me, when I'm recovering from my past of like a lot of sexual encounters, I just had to be really honest with myself of like, it is not good for me to do X, Y, Z thing. So my boundaries have to be way stricter than maybe the other person for my own, because of myself. And because of my past and because of being honest with myself and not saying like, yeah, I may be in my 30s and it may seem weird and uncool to be like, you can't be over after 10. Yeah. Like that does seem weird. It does seem uncool. But for me, I'm like, JJ knows this. I get weird after 10 p.m. Yeah. I get weird. Now that we're married, it's
works
great.
Works out great, right?
But before marriage, I just like everything lets loose. And I'm like, hey, you know, and it's just a different relaxed version of Kate that comes out. And that's always where I used to make the most of, I would cross the most boundaries. And so I think it has to depend on knowing yourself and has to be rooted in deep conviction, because I do believe there are some people that can kiss or potentially even make out without lusting, without it crossing a lot of boundaries that they set for themselves because, hey, they don't have maybe the same path that I do. Their brain isn't neurowired in such a way where they've gone down that path so many times. I do think that can be possible for some. I don't believe the large majority that's possible for, but I do think that you have to know yourself. And so, JJ, like, you can speak to this based on your past and knowing yourself, but I just think, like, if you're gonna make these decisions, know yourself, get deeply honest. Get deeply honest with your community and ask them, like, hey, these are kind of some of the things I want to put in place for myself.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Like, not people that are going to be like, you're weird for that.
Yeah.
But people who are like, you know what? I think that is really respectful. And knowing your story, I think that's wise.
Yeah.
You know, versus somebody who's going to be like, Kate, that's really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like,
right.
You're like in your 30s. Why would you? Not why can't you have him over at 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
Like like you're an adult, you know? Right. You're not like 20 making these decisions anymore.
Well, yeah, this is the question, you know? And my question back would be, where else in our life as a Christian do we ask this question of how far is too far? Mm. You know, where else am I, would I ever ask, hey, Pastor, I want to look at women and kind of fantasize. How much skin is too much? How much soft pornography is too much that I can get away with? Mm-hmm. The fundamental question in itself is a question of how much can I get away with and it still be okay? Yeah. And for me, that reveals, you know, there is a desire and it reveals what is the priority of your heart. Because you're not asking, hey, when it comes to sex and boundaries and dating, how can I glorify God the most?
Yeah.
See the difference in the question? Yeah, it reveals the intention of my heart and the priority of my heart. And to get real practical, you know, when it comes to how far is too far, like I would just give you a scenario. You have two couples, one's newly married and one's engaged, very close. And the engaged couple, they make out heavily. They maybe cuddle underneath the blankets. They maybe dry hump each other and feel each other in intimate parts.
We're getting real. You said dry.
Yeah, I love it.
This is very real. Great. Hey, we're getting engaged. We're getting married next month.
Yeah.
You know, like we're so close, which I would have another conversation. The next day when they wake up and they're feeling terrible, and we'll pause there, right? And they're feeling terrible. You have a newly married couple and they go through the exact same. They're on the couch. They're cuddling. They're kissing. They're making out passionately. And they're getting underneath and they're thrusting and, you know, not even sex.
Yeah.
And they're fondling and touching intimately. What do they call that? And how do they feel?
Right.
Well, they feel wonderful about it. And two, they call it sex.
Right.
Yeah. And they call it foreplay.
Foreplay. I was going to be like, they probably call it foreplay in the four engaged couple.
And that is the on-ramp to the, you know, the final act of that, you know, of that wave and that crescendo.
Yeah.
And they feel amazing. You know what the engaged couple calls it? They call it, oh, that was just a, it was just a slip up. It was just, you know, it like.
That's not who we want to be.
You know, we kind of feel bad about it.
Just,
you know, they don't call it the same thing, even though it was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And the on, and that's what you have to view. The on ramp is designed for the full act of sex in itself. Yeah. And you're saying, you know what, I'm going to reserve that for my partner. It's the same thing about sleeping in the same bed. Like we're in this whole thing. I'm surprised we haven't been asked, what about sleeping in the same bed?
Or like cohabitation? Like there's so many questions, or traveling together. And I think especially when you're older, traveling together, staying in the same room, just there's a lot of people who are like, well, just like we're fine. We're adults. This financially makes a lot of sense. And I'm not here to we're not here to shame people because we've certainly made mistakes. I do want to say that. Like, we are not perfect in this journey. I think we have learned a lot from our prior mistakes to meeting one another, but we still made mistakes in our relationship.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think when it's like, hey, let's sleep in the same bed. Hey, let's travel together and stay together. I just think the convenience in the moment and the convenience of basically you're saying this is more convenient and that's worth more than necessarily honoring my convictions.
We had a great episode with Chad and Tori Masters on this. And say you traveled a lot, you're engaged and dating, and over the year.
Or if it's long distance.
Long distance. Say you summarize that 12 months of dating and engagement, and by sleeping in the same room, in the same bed, you saved $6,000.
Yeah.
And I asked you point blank, Annie, what is more important?
Right.
Honoring God?
Right.
Or let me put it this way. Hey, Annie, for $6,000, would you just go ahead and dishonor God?
Yeah.
It can be small. We can edit it out.
But if I had asked you,
how much money would it take for you to even just in this conversation, just, you know, diss God real quick.
Yeah.
Can you tie a financial number to honoring God? And the Bible is very clear, you know, do not give the appearance of evil or sin.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, think about the hotel manager. He's seen you check in, stay in the same room, and even that person alone. What impression are you giving off? And the Bible is very clear. Don't give off the impression.
My family thought we were weird, okay? Because JJ comes home for the holidays and he's like on this tiny air mattress in the hallway in the small home. And they're like, why are you making him sleep out there? I'm like, because we're not married.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is weird. Like, you know, you're adults and had the same thing from another family member. And I'm like, I know it seems weird to you.
Right.
But this is what I choose to. Again, back to your conviction is based in your decision is a value that's based in confidence and conviction. If it's not, you will quickly people please, right?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Be like,
It'll be fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, something that helped me so much with there's a couple of people I confess to, right, about my life. And I went to one of them and I said, I want you to tell me when you think I should confess to you about sex, and I'll tell you when I think I should. And let's see if we align. Because that mattered a lot to me to go, like, I need to not feel like every single thing I'm going to have to tell you, but I need to know where you're expecting.
Yes.
What would you say it stops honoring God? And let me tell you what I would say stops honoring God.
Yep.
Yes.
And so having that conversation with a mentor helped
good.
Me a lot to go, oh, well, I didn't think about that. Oh, you're right. Because then the mentor is able to say back to me, the reason you think that would be okay is this. And I think that would be, you know, so it was a conversation.
Yes.
It wasn't a line in the sand.
Yes.
And I think that was really helpful for me.
Mutually agreed upon by both
of
parties.
Of someone that is helping me steward my life so that I am who I want to be.
Absolutely.
It is not a gatekeeper. It is or someone who's my policeman.
Right.
It's someone who's helping me steward my life the way I want to.
Absolutely.
One just quick, very, very quick thing is when we set boundaries, for example, we often look at boundaries, and actually Chad Masters said this on our podcast, so I got to quote him. We look at them sometimes as like being in a prison cell.
Mm.
We look at them and I'm like, I'm setting these and I'm in this prison cell and I'd rather be out there with the green grass.
Yeah.
I'd rather be out there free.
Yeah.
But if we can flip that script,
dude,
because boundaries are not keeping you in a prison cell.
Yes.
Boundaries are there to protect you.
Yeah.
So if you're constantly seeing your boundaries as a prison cell, you're going to resent them.
You're on the wrong side.
You're probably going to cross
that. The boundaries are what keep us from going into
you're
the
prison. You're in the green grass.
Yeah, you're in the green grass. That's why I had that conversation with a mentor. Because I was like, I need to know that I'm staying in the grass. I need to know that you think I'm staying in the grass. Like, I need us all to stay in the grass.
I love that.
Man, that leads to such a good next thing. Because I have to tell you all, when I put the question box up and I said, tell me about sex and dating, we had so many questions about masturbation. And I thought, wait, we're not going to talk about that because this is – but that is the question. I mean, the only question that got repeated verbatim probably 25 to 50 times was, is masturbation a sin?
Mm. Right.
So let's talk about masturbation and pornography for a minute, for men and for women.
Yes.
And, I mean, I think we talked about a little bit. If you have an orgasm and you're not in a committed relationship or in a marriage – that may be problematic. You're serving yourself,
it's
not someone
else. It's a great litmus test. But, you know, here's the reality. We've been doing a ton of studies.
Do you want me to read the stats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do start there.
The masturbation stat is actually really staggering, but 95% of men and 89% of women masturbate regularly around once per week. Now, that's not necessarily a Christian study.
But that's like, overall. Is that single people or all people?
All
anybody.
People.
Wow. Anybody.
Which is even more interesting.
That's very
interesting.
Because
it also shows you. Yeah.
40% of men and 22% of women masturbate daily. Okay. And so when you think about these stats, especially the first one, 95% of men, 89% of women.
Yeah.
First of all, the reality for that with masturbation is that it's really high for women, especially
for everybody.
For everybody.
Gender neutral.
But what we talked about when we did an episode on this is that often I think the stereotype is that, oh, men struggle with that. Because porn and first of all, we tie masturbation and porn very closely together, which isn't necessarily right. It can be without porn, you know?
Yeah.
So it's masturbation, porn, and then sometimes they're together, right?
Yeah.
But we often see masturbation and then pornography, both of those things, as a male more dominated issue than a woman thing.
Yeah, but
and
I'm telling you, this was women asking us.
This is
sure
89%
of
women.
Yeah.
And my story goes that like I didn't even know about this really until I was in my 20s, and then I started struggling with it. But I had no idea other women struggled with it.
So you're calling it a struggle. So did you know it was bad?
Okay. So
and is bad the right word?
Well, that's a great
question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Because, well, here's the thing. You know, it's that lens. It's back to the heart. And it's back to how far. The question in itself, is it a sin? I think the intention might be great. But the question that we need to ask is this. Does masturbation glorify God?
Mm-hmm.
Does masturbation advance my relationship with God? And once we change it to that, it kind of changes the physiological aspect and the practical reality of it. And it completely makes it a matter of our heart.
Yeah.
And really anything that, you know, we struggle with, quote, struggle with, we should ask, does this advance my relationship with God or not? Does this glorify God or not? Because if we want to get into the theological discussion of is masturbation a sin, we can have that in a vacuum and you can kind of say, well, the Bible's unclear. There's no real scripture on it.
Yeah. It's not meant, the word masturbation is not mentioned.
Right.
It's not in the Bible.
Which is why it's very gray.
Does that mean it's not a sin? No. I mean, dating itself is not mentioned in the Bible. So the question for anything within our life that is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, we have clear guidance, has to be addressed with one question. Does this glorify God or not?
And because dating itself in some capacities could also not glorify God,
right?
It comes back
the
to
way
intention.
It's done,
there's two, but now I add a third side to masturbation because we did a post and I was like shocked by how many comments came about. I was like, okay.
And it's not what you would think. It was the adverse reaction. How dare you shame us about our sexual nature? And we were like, wait a second, what?
I'm not doing, so there's three sides. One side is like masturbation is not possible to not lust and masturbate because the Bible is clear on not lusting, right?
Yes.
It's not clear on masturbation. It's never said.
Right.
So you can't masturbate and not lust. Impossible. It is a sin. It's self-glorifying. That's side number one. Side two is, you know, it could be done in theory without lusting and it could in theory be used to glorify God without lusting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really possible?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the secondary question where, you know, we could get into it, that I actually personally tried to do that. And I was like, it was not a win for me.
Yeah.
It didn't feel
not a win
for me.
Yeah, if we're being more clear with that language.
It was not a win.
It was not a win for me.
It did not go.
I didn't feel closer to God. I didn't feel like a connection with God. And this is after I had done a lot of journey, lot of healing on my sexuality, shame, removing shame. So this is in a place of like, okay, I'm feel good. Is this possible to glorify God, you know, which may feel awkward to say on a podcast and on like two people, but there are people that apparently say they can masturbate without lusting. Okay. And then there's the third camp of people that are like, oh yeah, this is a great thing because God created it. And you know, my sexual desire is great and it's a release and actually helps do X, Y, Z things. And so therefore, why not? It's great. It's amazing. Which I had no idea really personally how many even Christians stood on that side.
Yeah.
When we did this podcast and we talked about it, I thought it was just like side A and B, I didn't realize how many people were on side C of like, yeah, absolutely, all the time. It's great. Yeah. I was like, really? I didn't know how many people.
And I think that's grown in popularity.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think so too, especially like, in the Christian context. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a hot button topic. I would say the biggest, we have to go back to first, your sexual desire is a good thing. The fact that you desire sexual, anything sexual is a good thing given to you by God. Okay. But I think one of my favorite things, and Riley Kehoe said this on our podcast, but I, you know, like, it's a beautiful fire, okay? But before marriage, are we just going to let that fire burn and go everywhere and do all the things? Because then if we do, what does a fire do? It burns everything down. Mm. So you have to contain the fire in some capacity, which then people are like, oh, now you're being legalistic. You're saying I have to contain my sexual desire. I'm like, but the opposite of containing a desire of any kind is I just do anything I want because it feels good, right? So yeah, God calls us into ways of obedience. Like he does that in a way that doesn't have to be a legalism, that is healthy for our spiritual flourishing, right? Yeah. And so I think when you are thinking about the topic of masturbation, first I would say there's so many people listening that are like, I feel a lot of shame about this because I feel like it's bad and I don't feel like I can talk about it. First, know so many other people are exactly where you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 89% of women, for example, are exactly where you are. 95% of men.
Right.
You are not in a vacuum. And I thought I was one of the only ones. So I didn't tell a soul for years until I finally opened up to a friend and she was like, me too.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're not alone. But then I would just say, you got to ask yourself what JJ said, like, is this truly bringing me closer to God? And I think there's a small majority, in my opinion, if I'm being honest, there's a small majority where this could actually be something that glorifies God.
And small, like, what percentage would you say is small majority?
I don't know if I can give it a percentage.
Yeah. Small is the small key word. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you'd give the stats we were talking about earlier about pornography.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been doing a lot, and 89% of men had admitted, in the U.S. specifically, the U.S. is one of the most frequent users of pornography in the whole entire world. Wow. It's about 89% of men have admitted to using pornography in the past month, and it's about 61% of females. Mm-hmm. And then I thought a good caveat was 1 in 5 youth pastors struggle with it, and 1 in 6 executive and senior pastors struggle with pornography. I saw an anecdote the other day. It was about a hotel chain saying, do you know when we see the most spikes in adult ordered content in our rooms?
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
It's when we have Christian conferences.
Christian conferences. Bless their hearts.
And so, again, you know, what we talked about was the use is prolific.
Yes.
88% of pornography is accessed from your smartphone.
Yeah.
88%.
It is coming toward us.
And
when I was young, that was not the case.
Yeah, it was hard to find, you know, and it has just never been harder in that capacity of it is at your fingertips whenever you want it. It's never been more free, more accessible.
Yeah.
So it is by every means rampant, and it's not just digital. You know, I think one thing that we've seen is the justification and the kind of discreet use of even written pornography. And I'm sure, you know, like, that's one of the most best kept secrets amongst, you know, women is the fictional romantic novels where there's absolutely emotional, spiritual, and physical pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to kind of define, well, what is pornography?
Yeah.
Is it person to person, you know, with AI and digital created? And is it physical to object?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you really have to define it as anything I am tying and sharing my sexual nature to.
Yeah.
Especially, I think the orgasm is kind of like the cementing of it, but it still includes the, and what Jesus talks to, you've committed adultery in your heart when you lust, and even there's not a physical action attached.
And lust is, when we actually break it down and define lust is like fantasizing or lingering about another person or a situation for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, you're fantasizing. It's that like,
And I'm noticing,
and then I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm lingering on it more. Noticing that somebody is attractive is not the same thing as lusting. So when we talk, even like you're mentioning, like novels and different things like that, you know, can you really read a sexual thing in a book and not linger on that sexual engagement. Mm-hmm. Like, can you not linger? I don't know. I certainly cannot, because I have read books with sexual scenes. And there's it, for me, it's very, very rare to be able to not lust, aka linger on sexual fantasy while reading something.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think that's where especially women get tied into this equation with pornography, the 61%,
yes.
is that it's not like for women, they're coming up with more and more creative ways to reach women. And I think through novels, through different ways of storytelling, the show Outlander, sorry, I watched it, but I mean, like, there's lots of things where it's like, hey, this is for women, you know, and we're going to reach them in a way that's a little different than men.
Just a different package.
Yeah. All right, y'all, thank you. For starters, we can get, you have so many more thoughts. You have so many episodes, and it's all on Heart of Dating. So
yes.
any topic that we want to deep dive into. Yeah. But will you just finish us here? What do we do now? What's the next conversation? So we've listened to this. We send it to our friends, and we listen, and we agree, and we don't agree. Mm-hmm. We have big feelings, and we have little feelings. And what do we do next?
Yeah.
You know, we just had Josh Broom on Heart of Dating, and he's been on all the Christian podcasts. And the one thing that he does so well is when he talks about his former past, and he was a top five male porn star in the industry, filmed over 1,000 videos in pornography. The degree to which you're transparent about where you are and what you struggle with and what you've done is the degree to which you are opening yourself up for healing and redemption and growth. So I would say, if you're going to go, work up the courage, and please work up the courage, because it takes courage. Vulnerability, especially, I mean, I'm talking to the men. You know, I would say for men, we have to fight even harder to have that vulnerability, because it is not normal. Have courage. Don't hold back punches. I mean, go there. And be super detailed. Because the degree to which you're vulnerable is the degree that God will heal. You confess to God for covering and repentance. You confess to your brothers for healing.
That's right. That's what it says
growth.
In James. That's exactly right.
Exactly. So I would just say, you know, if you have that feeling in your chest, that urge, that good urge, you know, like, don't hold punches. Like, be courageous and be serious. You know, don't let it be one conversation. Set up a system that won't allow you to fail. That won't allow you to be in the same position you were 6 months ago, a year ago. Like, enable a system that's going to check up. That won't
Whatever shame you feel for what you have done or what you haven't done. Tell somebody.
Absolutely.
Tell somebody who's safe to you. And I would say the one other thing, because that was so good, is just like get curious and have curiosity. If you send this podcast to a friend and they're like, I don't believe in this, that, and the other. And you're like, well, I believe in this, that, and the other. You know, have curiosity. I think this conversation can end up being very divisive and people have a lot of feelings again because it's so personal. It feels so personal and the enemy has used it to deeply shame us. And then people who have healed from this sometimes then can feel a lot of ways in certain in certain ways. And so just get curious about somebody else who maybe has a different experience, a different opinion. Ask questions. I think there's so much we can do in healing and community if we're just open to how, you know, the other person thinks, feels, what their story is like. And so,
we hope this is just the start. For our friends listening, we hope this is the start of a conversation for you.
I hope so,
not
yeah.
the end of a conversation
exactly.
for you. Like, get with some of your people, get with your mentors, get and really talk through, here is my story. How does that inform where my story goes? And I think that will be really helpful. Thank y'all. That was an hour of hard work that both of you just did.
I'm sweating.
Well, thank you.
Well.
I mean, your team did an amazing job fueling those questions and categorizing. This is like a team thing. And
I'm
we
so
happen to have
thankful.
A microphone, but you have a wonderful team.
Well,
they've done
you,
an amazing job.
Agree.
And none of this is an accident. So
yeah, that's right. Well, thank y'all for doing this.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, aren't they great? I'm so grateful. Here's what I'm grateful mostly for. I'm grateful that they gave us a lot of thoughts and expressed a lot of wisdom that we can now take, digest with our friends and community, and figure out how we want to live based on that combo. what we've learned today, what we believe Scripture says, what our friends and family and community believe with us. That is what we get to do now. So as I said at the beginning, I hope this is just the start of a conversation about what it looks like for you. Yes, I'm talking about you, to have a healthy life as a sexual person, whether you are single, dating, engaged, or married. Make sure you follow Kate and JJ and check out their Heart of Dating podcast. I'm telling you, it has been so helpful for me. It is why I begged them to fly to Nashville for us to do this episode. And I'm so thankful that they did. Plus, if you would like a full list of all the resources from all of our summer loving experts, go to AnnieFDowns.com/dating. And again, if you have follow-up questions after listening to this episode or this series, drop them in the link in the show notes, and we'll be doing at least one Q&A episode in the fall. Also, I just want to say thanks for trusting us with today's conversation. Thank y'all for making it this far and for being in this conversation with us. I hope it is not the last. In fact, I do not think it'll be the last. It is something we get to talk about. As healthy people, we get to talk about the fullness of who we are, and that includes this. So personally, for me, thank you for trusting me to host a conversation about sex in your life. Matters a lot to me today. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on the road for the Here For You tour tonight. We are home. It's a hometown show here in Franklin, Tennessee. We are very close to selling out if we haven't by the time you heard this. So if you can drive to us and you want to, you need to get a ticket like right now at thehereforyoutour.com. Tomorrow, we're in Chicago. I can't wait. So many of my friends are going to be there. And then on to Florence, Kentucky. What a great weekend. We are having an actual blast. As you know, you're seeing it on my socials. You're seeing it on Carlos's socials. You're seeing it on African New Life. You're seeing it on Transparent. All of our friends, we're having a ball. So y'all come see us. Every show is different, and it is not too late to grab a ticket. Just head to hereforyoutour.com. And listen, next weekend, we're finishing the show in Texas, in Dallas, and in Austin. So if you're still sorting out what you want to do, be the person who buys a last-minute flight to Austin, Texas. Don't miss that last show. Just come and be at that last show with us. It'll be so fun. And tacos, right? All right. I think that's it for me today, friends. We have talked enough. Everybody take a deep breath. Hope you are feeling loved and cared for and seen. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you. I'm going to do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me, I think I'm going to go on a walk at Radnor Lake since we're home today. I think I would really enjoy that. Before we get ready for the show tonight in Franklin, I'm just going to pop up to Radnor Lake. Y'all have a great day. We have got a super special episode for you tomorrow. In honor of Father's Day, I've got my friends, Charles Kelly and Cassie Kelly. You know Charles from Lady A, one of the biggest country groups in the world. Charles, as you may know, has recently been really public about his journey of sobriety. And this Father's Day weekend will be really special for them. And it is just such a moving conversation to hear them both process how Charles's sobriety has changed their family, their faith, their parenting, and has us all looking toward Sunday as Father's Day for him in a new way. So I think it's going to be a really special conversation for all of us who have friends in recovery, who have friends in addiction, people that we love that are walking through that. And so I hope you will join us tomorrow and share tomorrow's episode as we continue to spend our summer giving hope to people who feel like they have lost hope. And we are doing that tomorrow, not in a summer loving way, but in a really special way. So we will have a special Father's Day episode for you tomorrow. And then we are back on Monday. We've got our friend Craig Allen Cooper joining us, as well as Mike and Lillian. Y'all know Lillian. And we are talking about the 5 love languages in dating. So Summer Lovin' continues on Monday after our special episode tomorrow about Father's Day. So we will see you back here tomorrow. Y'all have a great day. You are very loved.